Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Manappuram Finance Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anshuman Dey. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dey.
Yeah. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Manappuram Finance Limited. We have with us the management of the company represented by Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, MD and CEO, Ms. Bindu A.L., Chief Financial Officer, Mr. B.N. Ravindra Babu, MD, Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Rajesh Namboodiripad, Chief Financial Officer, Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Kamal Parmar, Head Vehicle and Equipment Finance, Mr. Suveen P.S., CEO of Manappuram Home Finance, and Mr. Vikash Kumar Mishra, CFO of Manappuram Home Finance. I now hand over the call to MD, Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, for his initial remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Q2 FY23 conference call. As you are aware, the pandemic has subsided and the Indian economy is showing clear signs of recovery. In the previous conference call, I had referred to the uneven nature of the recovery and its impact on our company's growth. The graph is now showing a more steady curve upwards. This ongoing revival, coupled with our earnest efforts, are finding traction as reflected in our Q2 results declared on Saturday. India cannot be decoupled from the rest of the world, and macroeconomic developments elsewhere could resonate domestically as well. For instance, the United States, European Union, and the United Kingdom have been tightening their monetary policies, and interest rates globally remain elevated. The rupee had also weakened to 83 before recovering to 80.56. As the dollar strengthened, gold prices lost some sheen during the quarter. The demand for the yellow metal has reached pre-pandemic levels and witnessed an annual growth of 14% during the July-September quarter at 191.7 tons. Accordingly, investor confidence in India remains high, as evidenced by the fact that net FII inflows in November so far have touched $2 billion. IMF, in its latest World Economic Outlook, forecasts India to be the fastest growing economy globally. Morgan Stanley goes a step ahead to state that this will be India's decade. We hope to capitalize on this upbeat mood and ensure that our business verticals are focused to translate it to our advantage. For the quarter ended September 2022, our consolidated gold AUM was 19,190 crores, registering an increase of 2.1% year-on-year. Overall, the consolidated AUM has reached 30,665 crore in Q2, representing an increase of 7.9% over the year-ago quarter. Consolidated net profit of 409 crore in Q2 is an improvement of 45.2% over the preceding quarter, driven by profitability in gold loan and microfinance businesses. To be sure, competition is increasing with the emergence of new players in the NBFC space, including fintech companies. However, India has a huge unbanked and underbanked population, which provides a room for a large number of players to coexist without sacrificing profitability. We pin huge hopes on the long-term prospects of companies, microfinance subsidiary Ashirvad, which has an AUM of 7,661 crore, showing a growth of 7% year-on-year. According to a CareEdge report, NBFC MFIs are expected to see a 30% year-on-year growth in their loan book in 2022-23 on the back of resurgence in demand for micro loans, especially from tier 3 cities. I have no doubt that we would be able to tap this sector even more in the days to come. We have seen maximum growth in the vehicle finance business, recording 49% increase year on year with an AUM of 1,886 crores, followed by home loans with an AUM of 922 crores, registering an increase of 25.9% over the corresponding quarter in FY22. Though primarily a gold loan player, we are slowly but surely on the path to becoming an NBFC with a balanced and broad-based portfolio mix. This rebalancing is already underway, and the share of non-gold verticals in our AUM now stands at 37%. For instance, in the housing finance business, we see a lot of potential for low ticket housing loans. On the vehicle finance business, we are increasing penetration in rural and semi-urban locations, apart from using the digital lending platforms and automated approval processes. Yet another focus is MSME and digital personal loan segment. The idea is to arrive at a diversified product portfolio covering secured and unsecured loans for the salaried and non-salaried employees. For a comprehensive review of our performance, I hand over the floor to our CFO, Mrs. Bindu.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for joining us today. Coming to the quarter, our consolidated AUM for Q2 FY23 was 30,665 crores, representing a flat growth sequential and 7.9% YOY growth. During this quarter, our all segment AUM has grown except gold loan, and the drop in gold loan is on the back of conscious rationalization of low yielding schemes. Consolidated profit after tax was rupees 409 crores for Q2 FY23, which was up by 45.2% QoQ and up by 10.7% YOY. ROE on a consolidated basis was 18.6% and ROA was 4.6%. Our leverage is currently only 3 times. Our GNPA as on 30 September at 1.95% versus 1.43% during the previous quarter. Company is currently holding excess liquidity in order to meet the redemption of the 3-year secured fixed rate note issued in the global bond market, which is due in January 2023. Cash and cash equivalents on a consolidated basis was ₹5,633 crore and undrawn bank line was ₹3,316 crore. Our CP exposure is only 2.4% of our total borrowing in the standalone entity. Our ALM is well positioned across all buckets. Standalone borrowing cost has gone to 7.56% in comparison with 7.47% in Q1 FY23 after repo rate hike of 190 basis points over the period. About the gold loan business, which constitutes 62.6% of consolidated AUM, and the remaining 37.4% comprises microfinance, vehicle, housing and SME finance. Gold loan AUM decreased by 6.3% Q1Q and up by 2.1% YOY. Gold loan yield improved to 21.9% in Q2 FY23 versus 19.4% in Q1 FY23. The yield improvement largely driven by rationalization of low-yielding schemes rolled out in H2 FY22. During the quarter, we were able to add 4.47 lakh new customers. Average ticket size and average duration was ₹54,694 and 68 days respectively. Our gold loan LTV is 65.7%. Our standalone PAT was ₹349 crore, up by 20% QoQ and marginally down by 1.8% YoY. ROE for this quarter at 16.8% versus 14.4% in June 2022. Coming to microfinance business, Ashirwad AUM stands at ₹7,660 crore, up by 9% QoQ and up by 7% YoY. During this quarter, our yield improved to 22.1% in comparison with 20.3% in March 2000. 22. We are coming to the end of COVID-related provisioning cycle in Ashirwad. PAT for MFI business has increased to ₹56 crore in Q2 FY23 from a loss of ₹8 crore in Q1 FY23. Expect further reduction in credit costs and return to pre-COVID provisioning levels over the coming quarters. Our collection efficiency also improved in MFI business during the quarter, stood at 103%, and disbursements during the quarter was ₹1,919 crore. In Ashirwad, the gold loan AUM as on 30th September 2022 stands at ₹500 crore. Cumulative ECL provision in Ashirwad is ₹520 crore. Net NPA stands at 1.64%. In September 2022, an equity infusion of ₹250 crore by parent Manapura Finance through a rights issue. Currently, Ashirwad CRAR stands at 22.8%. Coming to vehicle finance, we have reported an AUM of ₹1,886 crore, which is up by 7.4% QoQ and up by 49% YoY. Collection efficiency for the quarter 101%. GNPA has come down to 3.6% from 4%. Home loan business, total book of ₹922 crore, it is up by 5.4% QoQ and up by 25.9% YoY. It operates from 74 branches and reported a profit of 4.2 crore during this quarter and 9.3 crore for the half year ended 30th September. Collection efficiency for the quarter 98%. GNPA reduced to 5.5%. Loan to MSME and others at ₹1,235 crore. Collection efficiency over 100% and GNPA at 1.4%. Our on lending to NBFC, the AUM stands at ₹272 crore. with a disbursal amount of ₹252 crore during this quarter. Provisions and write-offs in the standalone entity during the quarter stood at ₹22.1 crore compared to 8.8 crore in Q1 FY23. The board has declared an interim dividend of 75 paise for the quarter. Our capital position is strong and the company is capitalized with a capital adequacy ratio of 31.9%. Company's consolidated net worth stands at ₹8,957 crore. The book value stands at ₹105.8. Thank you. We can now go for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Dhaval from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on decent performance. Sir, I had three questions. First is relating to margins. Just wanted to understand, have we seen the full benefit of, the teaser rate book running down and the gold book yield increase fully getting reflected this quarter? And also correspondingly on the cost of fund side, what is our expectation for the second half of this year? So your sort of perspective on margin would be useful. The second part is relating to growth, specifically in the gold loan portfolio. We've seen volume decline and overall the book has been stable for quite a while now. What is our outlook from here on? That would be useful. And the third part is on cost. It still is quite elevated compared to what our expectation was in terms of cost rationalization. So some perspective around how we think about absolute OPEX would be useful, especially for the next 3-4 quarters. Yeah, those are three questions. Thanks.
So the cost rationalization, the yield rationalization by reducing the dependence on low yield products for growth, it has come down. Low yield product has come down to around 35% in Q1 to Q2, it has come down to 25%. So our high yielding product has increased its share by 10% to 75%. So that is the reason why there is an improvement in the yield, and that is at around nearly 22%, 21.9%. And we believe that it will remain at this more or less at this level of 21%. So, and GL growth, we see, it is not growing now because there is another 25% in this teaser rate. It will have to go down, and it takes one more quarter to get growth, I think so. So regarding the cost, etc., has been mentioned already. See, there is going to be a redemption of the overseas borrowing, and that will bring down the cost. Again, there is enough headroom as our short-term liabilities is only 2.4%. There is some headroom there, and we can use that buffer to a reasonable extent to mitigate the rising cycle of interest rate. So we believe that it will be somewhere, stay around this. And at the consolidated level, you see that it has improved. The Asirvad yield has gone up by nearly 2% now, and it is going to further go up. And currently, the pricing is at around 24%. So it will move to around 24% now. And Asirvad collection and the net NNPA is steadily coming down. So this will protect our overall profitability, is expected to grow. And you mentioned about the cost. Cost primarily is coming from HR costs. Why? Because there was some increase in salary at the lowest level. And also, we are building our MSME portfolio, and we are strengthening the disbursals in other non-gold vertical like CV, car, etc. So these have been split, and these are showing good traction as far as growth is concerned. So the results of this cost, the benefit of this cost, will accrue in the coming months. These are growing fast, both the non-gold secured portfolio like MSME, which are all small ticket loans. Again, vehicle finance also is small ticket for us. These are growing very fast. So there will be some cost. You will see the cost rationalization going forward. When these in another few quarters, you will see the benefit out of that.
Right, right, sir. So just to clarify, so you're saying that the absolute cost will remain around these level and grow from here, while you will see the book accretion helping manage the cost ratio. Is that correct, or you'll see absolute cost?
Yeah, you are right. There will be in a higher proportion, the income from these businesses will go up.
Understood, understood. Sir, and just lastly, on comments on growth, especially in the gold portfolio, that would be useful.
Yeah, gold portfolio, as I mentioned, the low-yield product, its share is around 25%, and high-yield around 80-75%. So we wish to bring down that to around 15%, and the share of high-yield products to around 85%. So this will result in some reduction, the portfolio remaining somewhat flat for some time. Then it will start picking up in another one quarter.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. Sir, just wanted to understand, given that our focus has now changed to, I mean, profitability, and given that, I mean, in your earlier response, you guided that you expect gold loan yields to remain at around these 21% levels. Just wanted to understand, given that your other peer, Muthoot, is still doing gold loans at, I mean, interest rates which are, I would say, at least 200-300 basis points lower than the rates at which you are doing, you think we have a gold loan market at 21-22% kind of yields even today? That's my first question, sir.
So I hope, sir, the reason is the rural economy is reviving, and activities are on the improve. So that is the reason why slowly our high-yielding products, where the average ticket size and tenure is low, is increasing. So when more customers come from that segment, even if when we lose this low-yielding teaser products, we'll be able to show growth. See, the pre-pandemic level, even at the higher yield, we were growing at a higher rate. But we believe that has come down. It was around 25% for us. It has come down to around 21.5%, etc. So at this level, we believe that small ticket, short-term customers can be attracted from the rural market. And as the harvest, everything is expected to improve because of the good monsoon, etc. We believe that the growth is possible to the extent of some 5 to 10% in gold loan in the coming quarters.
Understood. So, is it fair to say that, I mean, going forward, even if some of the other peers start concentrating on growth and do gold loan disbursements at much lower yields, we will still stick to this 21-22% kind of yields even going forward?
Yeah.
Basically, there's no risk of introducing any of those teaser rate gold loans again in the future again.
During this, just after the COVID pandemic or during the difficult times, we were not getting our conventional customers. Then we thought of attracting some the better of customers through low yield products, and we were successful in that. So now we think that having the market of this bottom of the pyramid started improving, our focus from that low-yielding product will be shifted to this high-yielding product. And we were growing that during the pre-pandemic level. We believe that as the market widens, as I mentioned in our opening remarks, the gold sale also has picked up. It has reached the pre-pandemic level. We believe that with as projected, the revival will continue. The situations will improve. So our focus is this on high yielding products. We hope that we will be able to go back to that segment soon.
This is useful, sir. Just one last question. Going back to the OPEX. So I'm just concentrating on the standalone. P&L or the standalone OPEX that we have published. So I wanted to understand, if I look at the OPEX that we were doing maybe last year, we used to say that this is predominantly driven by very high gold loan disbursements that we were doing and I would say incentivization which was required and that and the promotion expenses which we incurred last year, particularly I would say in Q3 and Q4. Now, flash forward now, one is help me understand what was the gold loan disbursements that we did in this quarter. And against that, is it predominantly salary increases which has kind of led to this kind of operating expenses, or are there any one-offs there? I'm just talking about the standalone business.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So during the quarter, our gold loan disbursements consolidated ₹35,762 crore compared to 30,000 crore. With regard to cost, we have not added much manpower in gold loan as we did some time back. We added one manpower across the branches for our marketing activities. So during the quarter, the increase was on account of two reasons and it is purely that the overall admin cost increase is purely salary cost. So at the end of June, we have given an increase to the lower level employees. So the full impact has come during this quarter. And the other thing is we added almost 1,500 average number of employees to increase our non-gold businesses in the standalone entity. Non-gold, both vehicle finance and MSME is growing and per employee productivity is what we are monitoring. So the added manpower added to the cost in this quarter, but we expect improvement in productivity, further improvement in the productivity in the coming quarters.
Understood, ma'am. Thank you so much. This is useful. That's all for my time.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. One is on the cost. We are increasing the salaries to arrest the...
Mr. Mishra, there is a muffled voice which we can experience. Can you please use your handset to ask a question?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. So, sir, during the quarter, we have increased the salaries to arrest the attrition because if I look at the employee expense run rate, it was fairly lower post-COVID. So, if you can throw some light there, what kind of attritions have we seen in the last one and a half years, especially post-COVID? Second is on the secured PL. There's a particular product that we're doing, secured PL. So we're doing it at a fairly high yield of around 19%. So if it is a secured PL, the yield is around 19% versus the unsecured PL, which is at around 22%. If you can throw some light there, what kind of security are we taking for the secured PL and why is it such high yielding loans? Sir, also, if we can speak a little bit more on the growth, because if we are going to do higher yielding products, we are essentially saying that the volume would be lower, hence the growth should be flat. Is that a fair understanding?
Well, the increase in salary, the reason is already mentioned. We have hiked the salary to retain talent and attract talent, better qualified employees. So the attrition level had gone to around 8 to 9% during COVID days. Now it has been brought to around 5% per month. We hope it will further go down. So the second thing is, your second question is secured PL at 19%. These are small ticket loans where the average ticket size is around 4 to 5 lakhs. And in that, the bounce rate is around 6%. The net bounce rate is around 6%. And the NPA is already mentioned, it is around 1%. This is, yes. And short term, the unsecured, the secured is 19% is the gross yield. And the unsecured digital personal loan, it is around 22%. The difference in the gross yield is only that. But these are offered to our own customers who have a good track record. But it is very, it is 24 hours, 365 loan, days loan, totally digital. So we are disbursing around 25 crores per month, 20-25 crores per month now. And quarter on quarter, we are expecting it in increase in the disbursal per month to by 15-20 crores, so that we believe that we will be able to reach 100 crores disbursal, around 100 crores disbursal, towards the middle of 23 calendar year. That's our expectation. And there also you see the bounce rate is around 7%. The credit cost is around 2.5%. So that difference is that the risk adjusted return remains the same. And these customers are mostly our own existing customers who have a good track record. We have several millions of customers with us who are live as well as who have been transacting with us for the last 2 years. So we are targeting them. About the growth, yes, currently in the non-gold, I will come to the gold. Sure. Non-gold, currently we are disbursing around 1100 to 1200 crores per month. Non-gold includes microfinance, the MSME, then vehicle finance, including car finance, etc., plus some NBFC loans. So we are disbursing and we hope that, to improve that to around 2,000 crores in another 4 quarters by steady growth over quarter on quarter. So the trend is showing that we will steadily increasing the, and these are other than MFI, we are targeting mostly on our existing customers. So a large segment of our borrowers are these. That's the reason why the GNPA in vehicle loan has come down below 4%. About gold loan, as I mentioned, we are moving out from the low yield product, which is around 25%. We believe that the low yield product of the current level, it should be contained at around 15%. So there will be some middle yield product also in between. So we hope that we are phasing out that and adding the middle level product as well as high yielding product will be more suited for us to maintain a yield of around 21%. That's our strategy, and we believe that with that our ROE can be further improved going forward.
Sure, sir. Just two data keeping questions, sir. What is the proportion of AUM less than 3 months tenure, and what was the amount of auctions done in this quarter?
Auction during the quarter 190 crores, and on the tenure wise, 80% of the book 3 month product.
80, ma'am.
80.
All right, ma'am. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question was pertaining to the average ticket size and also the loan book split in terms of ticket sizing. So what would be the book which would be, say, below 3 lakh and 3 lakh to 5 lakh and more than in the gold segment?
Yeah, please.
On the total 2 lakh above only we kept, not 3 lakh. 2 lakh above we have around 22.6% on the total. Below 2 lakh is 78%.
Okay. Could you also provide something like above 5 lakh ticket size?
That is around 7%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And the second question was with respect to in the MFI segment at Asirvad level, we are also doing gold financing. So what is the yield that yield range that we have for gold financing product at Asirvad level?
The product structure, everything is similar to that of the parent. So the yield is somewhat similar only in as far as gold loan is concerned.
Okay. Got it. And so what
Raju, that above 5 lakh as on 30 September 2021 it was 7.3, and in between, we have increased the ticket size, and then it has come down as on 30 September, 14.5%
is right. Only portfolio ticket. Okay. So, ma'am, since you've given a YNY number, so what was this, say, above 2 lakh ticket size number in September 2021, which right now is 22.6%?
Can you say it?
Yes. So, based on, like, we have done between 1 lakh and above 1 lakh, where the yield sensitivity also different. So, up to 1 lakh, we were at 77% of the customers, and we were at 80% now.
Okay. This is in terms of customers and not loan book.
Is the previous
or is it the same?
Yeah. So this is based on the customers. 80% of our customers are below 1 lakh. In terms of the portfolio, As on 30th September, it was 45% below 1 lakh and 55% above 1 lakh.
Okay. Got it, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, the first question was on the proportion of gold loans, and you had mentioned your broad basing. What is the minimum percentage you would keep? And given the fact that the other businesses are seen as relatively volatile, would there be some kind of adjustment you would do on debt equity if you grow the more risky business, if I can call it that?
See, the unsecured business is mainly microfinance. The others are secured, like vehicle finance, which include commercial vehicle, car, tractors, and two-wheelers. And MSME also is secured against the lender property. So these are mostly secured. Ashirvad also, it is risky. Now it has been, that risk has been mitigated by the, through the new regulation. The new regulation provides the support in two areas to mitigate the risk. To have the enough cushion as far as the yield is concerned. Based on our assessment over these years, we thought there should be a risk premium built in the yield. It should be around 4%. So now our yield would come to around 25% because including the charges. So it would come to, even though the yield is around 24% and a service charge, yield would come to around 25%. There is an increase in the yield of over 4% from the previous one. So enough cushion has been built in there. So the share as of now, I mentioned, it is non-gold has come to around 37% and gold is 63%. So we are trying to grow gold, and we believe that gold also will grow. The ticket size below 50,000, ticket size below 1 lakh, the share was far higher during pre-pandemic, but it is slowly coming back with the demand coming to that segment. We believe that that segment will grow, and we are focusing more on that. Even before the pandemic, the competition was there. But the problem is more than the competition, the challenge is those segments, the requirement for money has come down, that because of the social functions were not happening so far, it started slowly picking up. So the risk mitigations have been done even in the non-gold product. So the products, the quality of assets, we have mentioned in other asset classes, non-gold asset class other than microfinance, is the GNPA in commercial vehicle segment is below 4%, and in GNPA in MSME asset is around 1.5% only. So this shows the portfolio is good. And why? Because we are primarily targeting on our own customers whose real number is running into crores.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, I had two questions. What I'll do is I'll just ask them sequentially. In the microfinance and home loan business, your GNPA numbers, you've shown us 8.8% and 5.5%. Are you still collecting from those clients whom you've classified as GNPA is question number one. And question number two is to Ms. Bindu. Given the fact that the high proportion of your loans are short-term in nature, your CP proportion seems extremely low. Would you be looking at a higher CP proportion going forward? That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. See, this MSME and home loan portfolios are two different portfolios. MSME. I will come to that.
Okay.
I meant the MSME. In the MSME portfolio, where the portfolio is around 1,200-1,300 crores now, going to around 1,400 crores now, the gross NPA is 1.5%. In home loan, as you said, the GNPA is high, but it is coming down, and net NPA has reached around 5%. And we hope that in the this year itself, we will be able to further bring it down. Because the rural home demand is slowly increasing, and many of these assets are backed by, the real estate assets, which are mostly of housing nature. And as the rural housing is slowly picking up, we hope we'll be able to liquidate that and bring the net NPA to around the 3% towards the end of this fiscal. Now over to Bidu.
So on the CP proportion, you are right that it is very low compared to a larger short tenor products in the asset side. So one reason we were cautious on the tenor because this dollar bond is getting matured in Q4. So we accumulated as much as through long-term term loans, etc. from banks. And the other thing, with the increase in repo rate, there is not much difference also. In the current scenario, cost-wise, the benefit is not that great. So once the rate improves for the CP market, we will tap that, because that buffer is there, so that will help us to reduce the cost also in future. So we are keeping that as a buffer in the current environment.
Thank you very much and good luck, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Sir, just one clarification. Is any of our incremental lending happening in this low yield bucket of below 12%?
No. So we have completely stopped lending below 12%.
Okay. So this book should run down pretty quickly, right? Because most of our loan is anyway.
Yeah. It will run down very quickly.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nihar Shah from Newmark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My questions have been broadly answered. I just had one question, which was on the new branch expansion. We have been anticipating that, you know, we should get that permission from RBI at some point of time. Is there any update on the same? And, you know, your peer has been given some branches. So, you know, what's the challenge there, and how are you going about resolving it?
Yeah, we hope we'll also get soon. So far we couldn't get, and we are hopeful about that in the coming quarters. But one thing I can tell you, at the console level, now we can grant up to 25% of the loan book for non-MFI in Ashirwad. And the Ashirwad branches have started pushing gold loan. So in some underrepresented area, our subsidiary would be able to lend gold loan because there is headroom there. But in the meantime, we are addressing, and you know, we are pursuing our branch opening request to the regulator.
Okay. And one other question is on the Ashirwad book. You know, the yield increase was pretty sharp. Was there any sort of securitization or, you know, one-off transactions in that? Or is this, you know, what can be expected going ahead?
Yeah, in the Ashirwad books, generally we have some DA transaction happening. This quarter we had a slightly higher number on that. That is the reason for this difference.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So there's some. Okay. Fair enough. That's fine. Thank you.
Sorry, sir. Is it the question on the GNPA?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. This is on the yield.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It was on the yield because you know, is there any sort of securitization or any of those things that were happening?
Yeah. The yield increase is on account of the new regulations we changed earlier because of the NIM cap we were charging 20.3. And under the new regulation, we changed the yield from 1st April onwards. So that helped us to improve the yield by 2% during this quarter. It is not because it's of one of the returns.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and good luck on the quarter.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alok Shah from MNCL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on great set of numbers, sir. Just two questions from my side. Would you like to kind of give us some thoughts on...
Sorry to interrupt, your audio is not clear, sir.
Maybe is it better now?
Yes, please proceed.
Sir, can you give us some thoughts on what's the consolidated and the standalone ROEs that you're looking at, you know, from the midterm and long-term perspective? And also some sense on what's the consolidated AUM growth that you're looking on the overall book.
So, I have been repeatedly stating that our targeted growth in the consolidated book is standalone book is around 20% CAGR and ROE is also at 20% CAGR. So, we are slowly coming out. So we hope that it will happen. All our non-gold segments are also are doing well. And gold also, we hope that by shedding this low-yielding product, we will witness growth there also. And I believe that we are at the console level, we are missing an ROE of 20%. We are very near to that. And in another two quarters, I believe that we will touch that point, 20%. This is our plan.
Sir, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Thank you for allowing me a follow-up question. For the benefit of everyone, if you could firstly please repeat the split that you gave by a split of your gold AUM by ticket size, and then maybe I'll ask my question.
I'm on the ticket size, as on 30th September, above 1 lakh, it is around 57%. Below 1 lakh, 44%.
Gold loan.
And so you also gave some split above 2 lakhs and above 5 lakhs, right?
Yeah, sir, that number clarified again, I will tell. Above 5 lakh, sorry for the disturbance. Above 5 lakh, already told earlier, 14.5%. 2 to 5 lakh, around 18%. 1 to 2 lakh, 22%. So total together above 1 lakh, it is around 56, and below 1 lakh, 44%. That is
as
on 30th September.
Understood. Thank you so much. So now my question was, we have published a very interesting slide where we have shared the AUM split by yields. So just wanted to understand from peaks of, let's say, Q3 and Q4 where gold loans below less than 12% actually peaked at 47-50% in Q3 and Q4. Now that they have declined to 25%, we have not seen a proportionate reduction in your average ticket size. So would it then be fair to say that large part of this change in AUM split by yields was driven because of the migration of teaser rate customers to higher interest rate gold loans, and maybe over the course of time you will see this higher ticket gold loans maturing, which will then lead to a proportionate decline in your average ticket size?
Okay. on this maturity time, your fees period, like Q2, Q3, Q4, during this period, most of the disbursement happened part of the same in Q2 also. The maturity time, of course, some customer may be migrated towards the existing scheme, but majority of them may not continue that. That's why the percentage is not sharply 100% reduced to this level. Some of the migration happened and they were continuing with the new rate, whatever we are offering. And others were, of course, they may be quitting from our side. That is there. But on the other side, you can see that the customer increase or net reduction in the customer, that is happened only 1.5 to 1.6%. So the movement is mostly from the bigger ticket size, where the predominantly that yield is in the range of 10 to 12%.
Got it, sir. So which means that, I mean, ticket sizes will remain at these levels, or do you think that these higher ticket size?
Yeah, some reduction in the ticket size already happened also. It may reflect in the coming quarter. Around 3,000 rupee per ticket is already reduction happened. That may so further some 2 to 3,000 rupee further may reduction happen. But some of the customer with the bigger ticket also will be there. But predominantly in the below 1 lakh range only mostly it will come.
Understood, sir. So this is useful. Thank you and all the very best to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, all the investors and analysts who have attended this conference and the arrangers. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.